Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and I have a really fun guest for us today. Robin Nuttall is the founder and owner of the Barn Hunt Association, and this is a sport that is just taken off like wildfire, the American Kennel Club dogs, but it is a sport that is available to dogs who are outside the American Kennel Club. Is that correct, Robin?
That's correct. Hi, Laura. Nice to talk to you.
Great. So glad you could join us. So I'm very excited to learn more about this. I literally, as I told you when we spoke earlier, I know nothing. I know there's rats and I know there's hay, and that's all I know. So give us the 411. How did you get started in this? What prompted you to create a Barn Hunt Association?
So I will tell you that my very first breed was actually Dobermans, and I've had Dobermans since the very early 1980s. And like a lot of people who get into purebred dogs, and I've shown my dogs for a long time in various different sports, in Dobermans particularly, it is really important to us that our dogs not just look pretty in the ring, but also can do what they were bred to do. So in Dobermans, it's IPO or Schutzhund or protection work. But also a lot of Doberman people do obedience, agility, all kinds of different sports with their dogs. The structure is related to function, and we want to know what their function was.
Absolutely. I love that.
So years ago, it's been almost 13 years ago now, I was looking around for a smaller breed to do agility with, and I had pretty much settled on the rat terrier because I wanted to do earth dog. And earth dog accepted rat terriers. They were just coming into the AKC at that time. And I happened to go to lunch with a friend of mine, Eddie Zook. I think a lot of people know who he is.
Eddie's been on our show. He was a great guest talking about OFA.
Yes, yes. And I did consultant work and graphic design for the OFA for many years. If you've ever filled out one of those OFA HIP forms or I forms, I actually did those.
Oh my gosh, you're my hero.
So anyway, I was going to lunch with Eddie one day, and I was all excited about this rat terrier, and I really am thinking this is the small breed I'm going to get. And he was like, no. I was like, what? He's like, you are not getting a rat terrier. I'm like, I'm not? He said, no, you're getting a min pin. We're giving you a min pin. I'm like, okay. So anyway, I ended up kind of not really expecting it with this min pin puppy. I named him Zipper. He finished his championship in something like 6 weekends with 3 majors. So he finished very easily, a beautiful dog. And so I'm looking at him and I'm like, well, you're really pretty, but what do you do?
What's your job?
Because it had been something that I hadn't really expected. I had to do some research into the background of the breed. So I did some research and I found out that it's a very old breed. It's a much older breed than Dobermans or many of our breeds today. They've been depicted in art since the 17th century, and they've always been small, and their job was to rid homes usually, but also properties, but usually they were more of an indoor dog, of vermin, rats and mice. That was what their job was supposed to do. So I looked around, and of course, I've got a lot of friends here in Missouri that do earth dog, which was why I'd wanted a rat terrier. I wanted to do earth dog. But at that time, the AKC did not accept min pins as an earth dog breed. Earth dog is one of AKC's performance sports, which means only certain breeds are allowed. And they were not allowed. So I was kind of like, well, I wanted to do work with my dog. I wanted to prove that he had the ability to do what his breed was bred to do, because when I was practicing with my friends just around doing earth dog, his aptitude was amazing. And long story short, that was the genesis of the idea for Barn Hunt.
This is just so cool to me. We talk a lot on this show about how we can be involved in making our sport more or better or what have you. And here is an example of one person who took an idea and ran with it and turned it into what is now probably one of the most popular, if you will, non-regular sports in dogs. I just think it's fabulous.
And you know, the important thing that people need to understand about Barn Hunt is that every decision that I make about Barn Hunt, all of the rules, everything goes back to the fact that first and foremost, this sport is a test of working instinct for vermin hunting dogs. Now, we are thrilled that all dogs of all sizes and all types have excelled in the sport and people love it, and we welcome those dogs. McBreeds are welcome. We don't care what you've got. Please bring it. And so many dogs have so much fun with it. But when we get down to the core of the sport and why it was created and why we make the rules that we do, it is based on testing working instinct.
I love that. I legitimately love that. And my background is in German wire-haired pointers. That's what you hear screeching in the background.
Yes.
And my breeding program for 20 years has been, if you can't get at bare minimum a junior hunter, you shouldn't be fed, never mind bred. And that's just been my operating theory. So anything that's designed to focus on that working ability. So when people say we have no need for purebred dogs, I can say, yeah, we do. And I love this. It's just amazing.
Well, Zipper, my first Minpin, came from a long line of dogs that basically had gotten their championships, and that was it. I mean, that was their owner's hobby, and that's fine. And a lot of Minpins, that's showbred Minpins, they get their championship, and they go home and do pets, which is wonderful. Mine go home, be pets, but also do stuff. So the Zipper ended up getting quite a few agility titles. He's got quite a few rally titles. I still have him. He turns 13 this year.
Nice.
He is literally the dog that inspired the sport. And the other really interesting thing about Barn Hunt is that in 2014, the AKC and the MPCA, Minpin Club of America, decided to approve Minpins as an earth dog breed.
Oh, very cool.
So at that point, I had already started Barn Hunt. The first Barn Hunt trial was in April 2013, so we're 5 years old.
5 years old, and people are just crazy about doing this.
We're only five.
Wow.
We're still starting. But the big irony being, honestly, Laura, if Minpins had been an approved earth dog breed when I first started with Zipper, Barn Hunt would probably not exist.
Right. Okay, I have goosebumps. This is very cool. Very cool to me. So let's talk about Barn Hunt as a competitive sport. Now, you were telling me a little bit off air, but I want you to share with our listeners as well. It is not an AKC sport, but you can get a title recognized by the American Kennel Club. Is that correct?
That is correct. It is an independent organization. It is not an AKC sport. Novice and above titles are recognized by the AKC. They're recognized by the UKC, and they are also recognized by the Canadian Kennel Club. And all the organizations have been very supportive. I do have to say that the American Kennel Club has been amazing and has really helped contribute to the success of the sport through their support and endorsement. So I'm very grateful to the AKC for everything that they have done for us.
Very, very cool. So let's talk about, what do you do in Barn Hunt? I mean, I have friends who participate, and I know there's rats, and I know there's hay and tubes, and that's what I got.
So there are different levels to Barn Hunt, levels of difficulty, and you progress up through the levels just like you would through any performance sport. I do want to, before I even talk about it, just make sure that our audience knows that one of the tenets of the sport when I was starting it was that we wanted to make sure that the rats that we use, and we do use real rats, that the rats that we use were not harmed in the sport. So we have a tremendous amount of protection for the rats. They are in very heavy-duty aerated tubes. Rats happen to like small, dark places, so they're actually very happy in the tubes and go right in. And our rats are pet first, and then they work for us a little bit, and then they get lots of treats. So we treat our rats well, but we've got rats in tubes, and then there's always a tunnel And the tunnel always goes back to the instinct of the sport as well, that part of the sport, because in real vermin hunting, dogs have to be willing to go into small, dark places after prey. So our tunnel is a little stylized. It's always 18 inches wide by whatever the bale height is tall. So it's not quite as tight for some dogs as others. And for our big dogs, it's a very tight space. But that's why the tunnel is there. Dogs have to execute a climb, which means they have to be willing to put their feet on prickly, stickly stuff, which is the straw. It gets a little prickly sometimes. And our very basic level, which is called instinct, that is a single pass-fail event. There are three tubes laid out bare. They're actually put into what is called an instinct cradle and secured so the dogs can't knock them around on the ground inside a ring. And one of them has a live rat and bedding in it. And the other one has used bedding. So it smells of rat, but there's no rat in there.
Okay.
And then the third one is just empty. And you and your dog have a minute to go into the ring. And your dog tells you which one of those three has a rat in it. There's an opportunity for a dog to do a climb in instinct, and there's an opportunity for the dog to tunnel, but they're not required to do so instinct. All that needs to happen is your dog finds the rat. You know what your dog is telling you. The judge does not tell you when the dog has found the rat. You have to understand what your dog's signal is, and you tell the judge, this is the rat. That really basic one is to help people get into the sport. And because I knew it was a new sport, I wanted to do something that would be a nice introduction for people that have never done it before.
Sure.
So then in novice, which is our next step up, there are three tubes again, one with a rat, one with litter, one that's blank. But this time they are hidden on a course. And there's a short, straight tunnel. And the straw bales are a maximum of two bales high, so it's not a very high course. The dog has a certain amount of time to go in. They have to do a tunnel this time. They have to climb on straw, and they have to find the rat. And the handler will not have any idea where the rat is. They're hidden, and the judge does not tell the handler. It's up to the dog to find it and then the handler to tell the judge.
Okay.
So the dog that does that in the shortest amount of time, depending on their height class, will win the class because we've got small, medium, and large height classes.
And do you ever make the tunnels bigger? So if you have an Irish wolfhound that wants to be a barn hunt dog, do we have a way for that dog to do that, or it has to go in an 18-inch tunnel?
It has to go in an 18-inch wide tunnel, and our bales are the height that the bales are. It depends on what part of the country you are in as to how tall those bales are. There are some places in California where they actually use what we call three-stringer bales. Those bales are taller, but that's what they can get around that area. And then there are some areas of the country where they are smaller. There is no safe way to artificially raise those bales. We couldn't go too high because if we went two bales high, it would be way too unstable. And there's nothing we can put under there that would be safe to raise them a little bit. So if you look in the rules and all of the descriptions of the sport, it basically says it is for any dog that can fit through an 18-inch wide by bale height tall tunnel.
Got it.
But I will also tell you, we have Mastiffs. We have Cane Corso.
Wow.
We have Great Danes that have gotten their championships. They can get through the tunnel. So we've got Borzoi. I haven't seen, but I think that there are at least some competing. So really, we have not yet encountered a breed of dog that we have had to say, absolutely not, you can't do this sport with this dog.
How much is that dog in the window?
Okay, crew, I hear it pretty much every day now. I love Pure Dog Talk, and that makes my heart happy because I love doing it. I started hosting Pure Dog Talk as a way to reach out to members of our community with education and resources to enable you to succeed and move forward in your goals and ambitions. And your response has been literally overwhelming. The podcast has been downloaded well over 250,000 times to date. That's incredible. All of this information is free to exhibitors around the world at the touch of a button. But here's the reality check. Money really does make the world go round, guys. So I created a special patrons group. This funding source helps cover the expenses of audio editing and website hosting and technology and like that. Patrons keep Pure Dog Talk's fountain of knowledge flowing freely. And like the NPR of dogdom, our patrons support Pure Dog Talk with monthly gifts. We even offer advertising and sponsorship opportunities that you guys may not have known about. So drop me a note, laura@puredogtalk.com, and I'll let you know how you can help share the love. So we're through the novice phase. So do you have three levels? Most of our sports have three levels.
We have four. Novice, open, senior, and master. Open, you have two live rat tubes. Senior, you bump up and you have got four live rat tubes. And then in master, it gets a little trickier. In master, you have anywhere from one to five rat tubes on the course. And you go in, and you've got 4.5 minutes. You have to find what's there, and you have to tell the judge when the course is clear of rats. The tunnels get more complicated as you go up as well. Here in master, courses have bales up to 3 high. But in master, you have to know when your dog has cleared that course, and you have to tell the judge there are no more rats on this course, and you won't know. What we do is we stage dogs in what we call blinds, so it's a blinded area, in groups of five. And at master, it can be either 3, 4, or 5 dogs, but usually it's 5 dogs. And the rats are hidden just for those dogs, and then we run those dogs, and then we hide the rats again. What that means is when you are not in your actual blind, in your hided area, you can spectate and watch other dogs.
Right. So they get the chance to learn by watching, too. The handlers do.
Learn by watching. And it's just so much fun to watch the dogs work. You can hang out. You can watch the dogs. You can see the course. So in that way, we're a little bit different than nose work, because in nose work, you really can't watch so much. New AKC scent work addresses that in some ways.
This is a fascinating combination of earth dog and scent work and just a variety of other sports, and just a fun way, I think, for people to do stuff with their dog, you know, which I think is great.
You know, we have very much become a gateway sport. And what I mean by that is we have a lot of people that try barn hunt that have never done anything at all with their dog ever. They hear about it, they show up. And it's great, because I'll tell you that we've had a number of dogs that have started in barn hunt that their owners have been like, oh, this dog sport world is kind of fun.
Nice.
Maybe I'll try something else. Maybe I'll try obedience. Maybe I'll try rally. I saw that agility equipment. I wonder what all that is about. So we really have had a number of dogs that have started in barn hunt that have gone on to other things. And I tell my judges and my clubs, we're really, really conscious of the fact that as a gateway sport, how we treat our competitors and their dogs and the kind of experience they have has a direct impact on whether or not they'll go on to any other dog sport, whether or not they'll keep competing with their dog. Because, you know, I'm sure you know as well as I do.
Oh, yeah.
That people who compete with their dogs and train their dogs, they tend to keep their dogs longer. They tend to be happier with their dogs. They're less giving up. So it's an important role.
It's absolutely huge. And keeping them involved, you know, eventually some of those people say, hey, maybe I'm going to, you know, buy a pretty one and go to the dog show. Maybe I'm going to breed a litter. You know, all of those things that, again, are about keeping purebred dogs relevant in today's society that has become so focused on adopt, don't shop outside of our world.
Well, and I agree 100%. And one of the things that I think is important is that we welcome mixed breeds and we want them there. But I think the more that people with mixed breeds and the people with purebreds get together in a congenial, fun atmosphere, and the more they talk to each other, the better things are overall. And they see that purebred people really are not mean, snob, ugly, horrible, terrible people. And they see some of these purebred dogs really excelling, and they're like, oh, you know what? Maybe my next dog might be this kind of dog. So I just think it's really important for us to foster that communication and interaction.
I am 100% on board with you, man. So how do you train your dog to do this? I mean, some of it is going to be natural instinct for some dogs, but not all of them. Is it the same concept as when we're training for scent work? Like we say, here's a rat, have a cookie?
Well, for some dogs, yes. I always tell people that because this hunting is an instinct for a good number of dogs, and you know, you would not necessarily think border collie or Sheltie in terms of barn hunt, but the truth is that a lot of these dogs that were used around farms, even though they wouldn't necessarily list vermin hunter on their resume, that was a job that they were expected to do.
Right, absolutely.
So I always tell people, try first to see if the dog turns on with instinct. Because some of these dogs, the minute they see a rat in a safe cage or they smell the rat in the tube, they just instantly something flips. It's just like a bird dog seeing a wing for the first time or a herding dog seeing sheep for the first time. Something in the back of their brain turns on and they've got it. Some dogs don't. I hope that owners whose dogs do not turn on immediately don't instantly give up on their dog, because some dogs it just takes a little bit longer for that switch to turn. And some dogs, it does become more of a, let's pair this with food or a toy, and this is our game that we're going to play, and you find that, and you get a reward. And that is absolutely fine to do as well, because it really is a fun sport. So if you like doing it, and you've got a dog that wants to do the food pairing, that's great. I mean, I've got a young Doberman puppy here, well, she's 7 months now, that right now she thinks running around the ring is fun and doing the tunnels are fun. And the rat, she's like, oh yeah, hi, I see that rat, and let me go run around some more. So we're pairing. We're pairing the tubes with food so that she's getting reinforced on that. Now, I happen to think this particular dog is going to turn on naturally. She's just not there yet. So it can go either way, but I always tell people, try the instinct first, and then if you need to pair, like pair food with the rat, like you would food with the scent in scent work or nose work, that's great. I think it's really important to practice tunnels.
Oh, get them used to the concept of going inside a tunnel, that's not something that dogs necessarily do.
Yes. A lot of dogs come in, they do instinct, they do novice, they get into open, they finish their open title pretty quickly. They get to senior and they hit a wall. And part of that is that their owners have never really trained a tunnel at all. The novice tunnel is just a very short, straight tunnel. The open tunnel is just one 90-degree angle. It's not a real super long tunnel. The senior tunnel has at least two turns in it. So you've got to start teaching that dog that the tunnel is something that they need to do.
It sounds like it's longer than like agility and, you know, an agility tunnel, they just run through it, right?
Right. But it's tighter for some of these dogs as well. So those are things that you need to train for. One of the other things you need to train for, honestly, especially with your novice dogs, if you're going to enter a barn hunt trial and you want to do some things at home, is get a couple of bales of straw and just put them out. And especially for male dogs, just teach them that the straw is not someplace that they need to pee. Because that is one of our biggest problems that we have with green beginner dogs. Once the dog has turned on and understands the game and the game becomes really fun, they almost never pee in the ring. They've got other things to do. But green dogs that haven't had a lot of training, they don't know what else to do.
Right. They just think they're at the park and they should pee on it.
Right. And I own intact male dogs, so I get it. But we don't allow dogs to pee in the ring and barn hunt and won't. So that, unfortunately, is a non-qualifying score and you get to leave the ring. We don't want that to happen. So that's one thing to think about doing.
So do a lot of your participants keep rats? I know people think they're great pets. I personally think they're kind of creepy. Do people actually keep rats to do this? I mean, that is like a whole new thing.
Some do, don't. Some do, some don't. You are not required to. I will tell you, for those of your listeners who do not do barn hunt, please do not think that it would be acceptable to get rat scent and train your dog on rat scent.
Oh, interesting.
Because part of the big thing about our sport is for the dog to understand that a tube with just rat scent is not what they want. They want the tube with the actual rat in it. So if you train your dog on rat scent, they're going to start hitting the litter tubes. And you're not going to get very far if you do that. So that's part of the scent discrimination of our sport is, okay, that tube smells like rats, but there's no rat there. It does not have value to me. I need the one that has the rat. And if we're going to go back to our instinct again, in a real vermin hunting situation, there will be rat scent everywhere. We need the dog to understand that he needs to find the actual animal.
Yeah, it's the same as when we have young pointing dogs. They'll frequently false point, we call it. When the bird has been there, dog goes in and there's no bird there. That's part of the competition in pointing breeds. If you get too many non-productives, you go and you kick around and don't produce a bird, that means the dog has not learned that pretty basic concept of this is not really a bird.
Absolutely. Barn hunt, more than many sports, you're a team with your dog, absolutely. But in this sport, the dog is team captain. The human, or the person who is in there to read what your dog is trying to tell you. We see a lot of people who overmanage and micromanage their dogs in the sport, and they talk constantly, and the dog is so distracted by the talking and the cheering and the look here and look there that they finally shut down because they don't know, you know, what do you want me to do? The dog has the nose. You do not have the nose. Your job as the trainer and owner is to watch your dog and learn to interpret the cues your dog is giving as to when they are in order and odor and when they have found that rat.
I like that a lot. Again, I see parallels to some of the work that I do with my dogs. Again, don't talk. We tell people with new bird dogs, go out into the field with duct tape on their mouth.
Well, you can talk some, but make it judicious and don't chatter at your dog. The other issue that we see a lot are trainers do really well in instinct and novice. You know, in our sport, you are actually able to physically praise your dog after each rat find. You can put your hands on your dog. You can pat your dog. You can tell your dog what a great dog they are. Then once you've handed the rat off and you've taken your hands back off, it's hands off again until you've called rat again. But you can praise your dog, and it works really well in instinct and novice. But once you hit open when you've got two rats, what we end up with is owners who are feeling time pressure, and they forget to praise the first rat because they're so anxious for the dog to get to the second rat. And then in senior, they forget to praise rat 1, 2, and 3. They only praise after rat 4. And even with drivey dogs, even with dogs that love the sport, they want the praise too.
Right.
You've got the opportunity to do it. Every dog in barn hunt should be praised after every single rat find that they get.
Very cool. I wanted to loop back here really quick. One of the things that I thought was interesting, you said earlier that people just decide to come. So this isn't a sport where you don't have to enter in advance. Is that correct?
It depends on the club and the event. Some clubs do offer day of show entry.
Okay.
Some do not. So barn hunt can be held in conjunction with AKC events as well.
Right. I've seen it at all breed shows.
Right. Now, some of those clubs we do allow to do day of show entry. Some of them we don't. It depends on the event and the club, but our experienced clubs, even with AKC, if they want to do it, they can offer day of show. That will be noted in their premium and online as to whether or not those are available. But yes, it is available if the club decides to offer it.
It piqued my interest because people talk about day of show entries being something that would help potentially encourage more participation in confirmation dog shows and some of the other things. So that's why I was curious about it. So you are going to provide us with some links where people can go find out more information about this. We'll have those on the website for the podcast.
Yes, and I will be providing you with some photos as well.
Awesome. And then the only other final question I would say, the very best part about barn hunt for you and cautions that you would have. So who would be a great barn hunt competitor, I guess, and who would be someone that might think twice about this sport?
The very best part of barn hunt to me is watching the joy that people get by how much fun their dog is having. The dogs just love this sport. And it's just amazing to watch these teams and the bond that gets between the handler and the dog, because the handler has learned how to truly observe what their dog is doing and to watch their dog and to connect with their dog. That's the most amazing part of the sport for me. As far as cautions, I've gone over some of the training stuff, but I guess maybe the caution as far as the handler that I would less like to see is the handler who is more focused on titling than they are on the experience.
That's good. I think that, honestly, that applies in a lot of places.
It does. It does.
Awesome. Well, Robin, thank you so very much for taking time out of your schedule. I am absolutely thrilled and quite enjoyed our conversation. So I really, really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I really enjoyed it, and I'm so happy that we're sharing Barn Hunt with more people.
The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.